of cream, red roses too.
Hello, this is Ed Cohen, your broadcast host on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, coming to you today from San Diego and New York. Our special guest today is Philip Berry, an executive coach based in New York. Philip is going to be talking about two topics of keen interest these days, considering all that's been happening. First segment will be, what is global human resources? What does that mean to corporate America, and what should it mean to the rest of us? The second segment will be about leadership competencies, and with a focus on branding, indeed personal branding. Now, what does that mean? It's all about how to increase your impact globally, and I want to explain what that means. Philip Berry talks about enabling individuals, the team, and organizations to transition to increased levels of effectiveness and impact from their current situation. Leadership competencies and how to increase your impact is all about the role of branding, defining personal brand, and understanding the three parts: individuals, teams, and organizations. They must transition from their present levels of effectiveness to higher levels of impact. Here's an example of how others see you. For instance, when you have a product, you position that product in a certain way so that it's going to be attractive to the ultimate consumer. That has to do with understanding the brand benefits a consumer would care about. Individuals also need to be aware that there is a perspective. Now, this means the way that the people are viewed and the way that they position themselves from the standpoint of what's distinctive about them, that the individuals throughout an organization need to appreciate. In other words, it's like a 360 in yourself. What you think of yourself, what your boss thinks of you, and what others in the organization think of you, and how you position yourself. How you execute your activities. How are they understood? So this is what Philip Berry is going to be talking about. Indeed, very valuable information. Hello, Philip.
Hi, how are you, Ed?
Just great. Thanks for being our guest today on Global Radio Talk Show.
Glad to be here with you.
I've been looking forward to this because you're such a smart dude with a lot of insight into communications and corporate HR, global HR. I'd like to ask you very quickly before we go deeper, from your experience and as you view it today as an executive consultant, what does global HR mean to you? What's the role of global HR in a corporate environment today?
Your question is very important, in fact, because I'm going to be doing a lecture at Clemson University this evening on this very topic.
Oh, my.
And talking about global HR. And many individuals feel that HR just has to do with processing paperwork, just hiring individuals, paying their salaries, paying their benefits, and certainly includes that. But more importantly, when you're looking at HR from a global standpoint, you want to be sure that you are managing the human capital of the organization that you're working with. We have a lot of resources and organizations that are channeled to take care of the financial assets. But when you talk about how you attract, develop, and retain talent in order to manage all of the assets of the organization very well, that's where the role of HR comes in. And on a global basis, what it means is that you're not just considering the country that you happen to be operating in, whether it's the United States or whether it's the UK or it's Argentina. What you want to do is to have the capabilities organized in such a way that you can manage the entire global enterprise of a corporation or of an NGO in a way that helps to meet the goals, the objectives and mission of the organization using people in that manner.
So does this mean that the global HR manager of somebody with a title of VP, global HR, is that in the more or less in the role of a business partner, HR business partner?
Well, it should be. It should be. And in fact, one of the things that's very important as we've been talking about different roles, as we talk about different roles in an organization, sometimes individuals who are in the staff groups, whether it's for finance or whether it's HR or whether it happens to be communications, they don't operate as well in a partnership with people who are managing the line part of the business. And so I would say that it's a role that needs to be cultivated so that way you can ensure that you're just not meeting in HR, for example, your own goals and objectives, but you are focused on how you can help the different parts of the business in achieving their goals and achieving their mission. So that might mean the manufacturing area. What it means, in fact, is that you have to have a clear understanding of what's going on in business. And so if it's manufacturing or if it's sales or if it's marketing or if it's engineering or if it's operations, HR needs to understand some aspects of those so that way you can really partner with those parts of the business to help them to achieve their goals, where they see you as a viable, not as an additional or as an additional cost, but they see you as somebody who is complementary with them to help them achieve their goals and objectives.
Well, I asked all that because there's so much controversy going on right now. When I say controversy, I mean in a positive way, sort of an exploration about the role of mobility management. And mobility management refers to business travel as well as the relo assignments, which of course is a broad-based perspective, and how some companies are combining those more and more. And it seems like there needs to be somebody from HR, maybe the role of the global HR leader rather than CHRO, but the global HR leader that sort of gets in the middle of all this and helps manage communications, if not be an ombudsman, when something goes wrong.
Well, certainly HR can play a viable role in facilitating the effectiveness and impact of what the business is trying to achieve. So if you want to, and I've worked around the world, I've worked in over 60 countries around the world.
Right.
And one of the things that has always been important to me is to, when I first hit the ground in those countries, is to understand what are the key priorities that they're trying to achieve. So if they're trying to move a product in the marketplace to get more market share, if they're trying to improve the way that they are positioning themselves versus the competition, then what I want to do is to ensure that they have individuals in place who have the training, who have the development, who have the skills and perspective of, in order to optimize their impact. And that also means from a global perspective that is that if I'm working in a Poland or if I'm working in Argentina or Romania, for example, I just use this as an example, or if I'm working in Thailand, then I also, as a global leader, I need to have some awareness of how we've been able to move products in other parts of the world, how we've been able to maximize our profitability in other parts of the world, what's worked before. And then if I don't have the local expertise in place that has that perspective, then what I want to do is I want to have people in place that can develop the skills and to bring that input. That's where global mobility comes into play. And I think most importantly, what many staff people don't do as well when they're talking to line managers is you have to speak in the language of the line manager. So that way they really feel that you are trying to meet their goals. So when I go to a person and I say, well, look, maybe we ought to extend this global assignment and also bring a person into this global assignment because they have perspective in improving market share or doing marketing research or from another part of the world. And I think that that's a perspective that you can use here. That's how I position and make it something that's in it for the manager, as opposed to just saying, well, let's just extend this assignment because I think it's going to be good for the person. I mean, can't just be good for the person. It has to be good for the business, and it has to be good for the business partner.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the focus of Philip Berry Associates is to enable individuals, teams, and organizations to transition from their present levels of effectiveness to higher levels of impact. And what you've just heard from Philip Berry is a perfect example of how he goes about that. So thank you, Philip. So I wanted to ask you to go a little bit deeper with me on this idea of branding. You know, we all know about Madison Avenue and Colgate or any other brand, but what's a personal brand? And why and when should a person, an employee, consider rebranding? But first, what's a personal brand?
Well, just like when you have a product, you position the product in a certain way so that way it's going to be attractive to the ultimate consumer. So that has to do with understanding what are the brand benefits that a consumer would care about. Well, individuals also need to be aware that there's a perspective and there's a way that they are viewed and the way that they position themselves from the standpoint of what's distinctive about them that the individuals throughout the organization need to appreciate. So the three parts to a personal brand, it has to do with individuals being able to identify what their aspirations or goal happens to be. It has to do with, secondarily, their distinctive competence. What makes them different from other people? What is the unique character and competence that they bring in positioning themselves in this particular job or in another job? And also it has to do with the value system that they have in place, and whether that value system is aligned very well with the organization in a way that's going to be productive for the person and for the company that the person is going to. And what happens many times is that individuals will be in a job, and so maybe they'll be promoted. Well, let's say that you have a person who was a marketing manager, and now this person is moved to another part of the company. Let's say this person was a marketing manager in the United States. Well, and then they're moved over to France to be marketing director. So now they're in a different situation, and the type of skills that enable them to move up is going to be a different requirement for this person. The person has to be viewed in a different way because now he or she has a different base of employees that they're relating to. This person brings a certain stature that's going to be different. All of a sudden, they're leading, and so they're taking on a lot more responsibility. But if they continue to operate in the way that they were operating before when they were a manager in the United States, then they're not going to be as impactful. And so that's why I talk about rebranding and understanding what are the skills and the competencies and the new value sets that I must bring so that way I can be viewed differently and I can operate in this new position. This is also very acute with people, say, who I have hospitals that I work with. And so emergency room doctor is now promoted to be the operations manager of a whole new division. And so he or she is not just being recognized for their competence in terms of medical care. They also now have to have financial skills. They have to have leadership skills in relating with people. They have to be able to build a team. Those are different qualities that the person needs to be recognized for, which become part of the brand. It's a part of the way this person is now viewed, which is very different than the way they were viewed before. That's why I think that's why I feel that personal branding is very important, that people need to be conscious of how am I viewed right now and am I being viewed in the different way that's required in order for me to be impactful in the new situation that I'm working in.
Thank you. So I want to ask you now to go a little bit deeper on this. When you consult, coach, do you advise a person to consider media training as well as maybe upgrading their appearance by using a stylist part-time in terms of grooming?
I think that there, when I think about personal brand, the first, I like to work from out, from inside out as opposed to outside in. So what that means is that the person, let's say that I'm working with an individual who is an engineer, and the person has now moved from where they were the chief engineer in a certain operation, and now they are moved into a role where they are managing the manufacturing port, the warehouse, and also the technical supply areas, and they also have to work with the marketing department. So now what's required for this person from the standpoint of their competencies is to be able to develop a stronger portfolio of capability. And that portfolio of capability requires not only looking at, like, they were promoted based upon their technical skills. And this happens with a number of people, you know, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a doctor, whether you're an engineer, they're a scientist, they're promoted based on their technical skills. Now they're in a place where they have to communicate with others, where they have to manage others, where they have to interface with others and the external community in a very different way. So if you take the fact that they need to develop those communication skills, the team building skills, the people management skills, then they definitely need to be able to get the training that increases their competency in those areas. So that kind of comes back. That's why I say I work from the inside out as opposed to the outside in. Let me just send this person to a media program or have them talk to a stylist. I might have them do that. However, it's only because I have identified very distinctly the competencies that need to be improved. And the other thing that's important, if I may, is that, for example, I've worked with a number of senior people who were very good at managing inside the corporation. Now they have to work with external shareholders. They have to present at a different investor groups. They have to make presentation at the shareholder meetings. And I've worked with a few individuals in these situations where, first of all, we determined that they need to be able to up the ante of their overall posture and how they're viewed. And so then you do get into things like presentation skills training. So I do have a studio that I am able to have an individual actually sit through, and I take them through presentation skills training. And the other thing I do give them advice on is their dress. And I mean, now they're dealing with different groups. And mind you, it doesn't always mean that because the person wasn't wearing a suit and tie anymore, that now they have to wear that. Depends on the type of group that you're relating with. So if you're going to deal with a certain community group, you may decide not to dress up as much. You might decide to dress down, take the tie off. Now you're dealing with groups who are millennials, and a number of them have quite a bit of money to invest in shares. So you want to position yourself in a way that shows that they can communicate with you, they can relate more with you, that you position yourself in a way where you can be a lot friendlier and don't seem as aloof. So this dressing has to do with being able to be very keen about the audience that you're dealing with and then dressing accordingly. It has to do with colors that you use and everything. And this goes the same with men and with women.
So again, looking at the perspective you wonderfully enunciate about starting from the inside and moving out rather than looking at the external moving in, what about the role of professional acting lessons? In other words, how to carry forth an idea?
Well, one of the things that actors do well is that they are able to get across a certain concept, an emotion, and they can do it in a very short period of time. They can captivate you in a way that has you enrolled in the feeling that they want you to feel. You know, whether it's emotion that is sadness, whether it's happiness or whatever. And so that has to do with the way the person is speaking, has to do with body language, being very keenly aware of body language. And in that way, yeah, the world is a stage. Everybody is playing a role. And everybody should have a story to tell. And that story should be able to communicate in a very short period of time what it is they want the audience to appreciate about them and about what the topic is in the moment. So yeah, so acting is important, in fact, understanding those critical skills.
Philip Berry is a great resource, and I really recommend that you look up his website, philipberryassociates.com. That's PHILIPBERRY, philipberryassociates.com. And get all the information. Philip can help you and your organization grow to the next level.